Straight up, we'll take it to the Bronx, bring in the Bronx Bomber, our PhD, of boxing himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, it looks like Canelo Alvarez struck first blood this week against Mr. Caleb Plant.
Well, yes, he did. We learned one thing. Canelo's English is improving, but he still, he understands the word mother very well. So he heard the word mother, and that was it. That was the trigger, and Caleb got a little love tap preview.
Well, here's what's happening. When you try to translate MF into Spanish, it doesn't sound like that. And plus, MF, that's what we're talking about, mother ducker. It's got like like Bernie Mac said, it's got like 1,000 different definitions. I mean, you could be God. That's one bad MF. Another man, that guy's a no good MF. I mean, it just goes back and forth. Anyway, Canelo didn't get it, but Canelo cracked him pretty good. I'm looking at Caleb Plant's face. He's got a couple of nicks under that right eye, so two nicks under the eye. Canelo strikes first. Of course, their fight's going to take place in November on pay-per-view, coming to us from Las Vegas. Caleb Plant's undefeated. He's got that WBA belt. Outside of that, does he bring anything else to the dance?
Well, he's undefeated, so that's that marketability. I think he's – you know what? I firmly believe that this is probably the easiest fight for Canelo out of this whole unification tour that he's been on. But Caleb Plant is not a bum, but he's unproven. And, his two best fights are against Caleb Truax and Ustegi. He's got quick hands. He's a somewhat of a slick boxer. But I guess it's kind of easy to look like a slick boxer when you look at the competition he's faced. So we're going to find out. He's also now working with Andre Ward. I don't know how much improvement can happen in a short period of time. They certainly fight totally different styles, talking about Andre Ward. And, he doesn't lack in confidence. But sometimes when a guy has a lot of bravado, I wonder if he's trying to convince himself.
Speaking of bravado and convincing himself, how much money will it take to convince Andre Ward to come out and fight Canelo Alvarez?
That's a great question. I heard his lawyer, Josh Dubin, say that he, in an interview on about several months ago, that fight was offered to him and Andre Ward turned it down. But then again, Josh Dubin said that he would be willing to fight Jake Paul. So I don't know. Yeah, this is. I mean, if you don't mind me saying where it was on Joe Rogan's show, and he said that. And so I don't know if it's. I mean, Andre Ward would make the biggest check he's ever made in his life. However, two things would be on the line: his legacy. I mean, it's something to be said to retire undefeated and retire on your own terms. But this is boxing. When do fighters actually stay retired? Very few. And this is a good chance that he could be embarrassed. He hasn't fought in a long time. And yes, Andre Ward at one point was hands down the best, pound for pound. Tremendous resume. But he's been out of that ring for a while. And I don't know if fighting someone in their prime like Canelo is conducive to him staying undefeated.
He's never lost a fight in his life. He lost one fight as an amateur, and I'll never forget Marsha King telling me next day, "You wouldn't believe it, Pedro." But she was like livid. And I said, "Well, what's up?" She goes, "They took away this kid's undefeated record." Blah 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 blah. And she's like, Marsha
was 12, right?
Yeah, he was like 12, I think, 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And I had seen some of his fights early on, over at Oakland at King's Gym because that's where he trained in this and that. He was a good kid. We always thought that when I predicted he would win the Olympic gold medal, a TV guy here at Channel 4, Gary Radnich, his father was a professional fighter by the name of Gus Radnovich. Anyway, he said to me, "Stop shilling." That's what he told me, "Stop shilling." And I said to him, "Will you buy me lunch, dinner 1,000 times if I'm right here?" "Oh, you're not going to be right." I said, "Well, will you do it?" "I tell you what, Pedro, I'll give you lunch. I'll give you dinner at the House of Prime Rib 10 times. And that's like a $150 dinner each time, okay? So anyway, I said, "Yeah, all right, do it." So Andre Ward goes out there and wins the gold medal. I get on this TV show with Gary Radnich, and he never mentions the prime rib once.
Okay? Selective memory, huh?
I brought it up. You didn't think I was going to let that way. I go, "We're about to end this way. Wait, 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 wait. You owe me some food." anyway, I did go to the house of primary on him at least once. But the bottom line is, you know, we're watching old guys fight old guys now. And, of course, we're talking about Canelo. Canelo's not an old guy. He's in his prime. But Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, Oscar De La Hoya, and now Floyd Mayweather, they're talking about that a second time. I didn't like it the first time. I remember interviewing both these guys at the Civic Auditorium here in San Francisco and being totally bored out with both pre-fight interviews, Mayweather and Oscar. It just, I don't want to see it again. It would be like, it would be painful.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is sitting home saying, you know what, I really would love to see this rematch 10 years later, you know, or whatever, how many years it's been. That's something that we could all do without. It's ego. You know, that's all it is. It's ego. I mean, both those guys are very financially secure, you know. So what are they looking for, you know?
You know, I'm looking at somebody shot me a text here on Andre Ward. How much money do I think that if they offered Andre Ward $30 million, I think he would come out of retirement in a minute.
I think so, too. I mean, $30 million is a lot. You know, I want, you know, that. So basically a 50-50 split it would have to take.
I don't know if it's a 50-50 split, but the bottom line is I think if you came up with that kind of money, I think that he would come out. And, you know, he's been off a while, but he's a naturally he's a better boxer, per se, than Canelo would be. But he's one of the better boxers, of course, of the era. But 2004, remember, he won the Olympic gold in 2004. That's 17 years ago, Sock.
Yeah, and also the fact he's a clean liver, you know, pardon the pun. You know, I know he doesn't drink, but he lives clean.
He doesn't, you know, even swear.
Bro, he's always in shape. I mean, you can tell on camera.
He's so boring. And
I will say this. I do think Andre got out at the right time because, you know, that first Kovalev fight could have gone either way, you know. And
No, it could have gone the other way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, so let's say, you know, hey, name a legend who has not gotten a gift in their career. And Andre got a gift that night, you know. And I don't think at that level, he doesn't hang with the other light heavyweights at that same time. He does not beat Better Biev either, you know, if he would have hung around. So Andre got out at the right time. And it's amazing because at one point, people used to question Andre Ward's chin. Didn't he get dropped by this guy Boone? I remember on the on a Fox show on a Sunday.
Yeah. You know?
So
I was there.
You were there.
I was like, and then, whoa!
And then you really saw gradually just Andre just seemed to get better with each fight. He just looked better and better and better. And that's kind of like what we see with Canelo, ironically. It would be a tremendous fight. It would be the biggest fight of the year. And it would be the biggest fight for Andre Ward, hands down. And he's almost playing with house money because, okay, he comes out of retirement and he loses. Okay, you know, he didn't beat him in his prime. So maybe it doesn't take that much money. Maybe $20 million, you know. It'd be great. I would like to see it. Just because of the fact because Andre Ward, we know, has all his faculties and he's not, you know, beat up. He's...
Okay. Virgil Hunter, of course, training all those guys over there in Richmond, California. Has he got Andre Ward on the comeback trail? Well, Andre Ward is in the gym. We'll just put it to you like that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. More after the break with the boxing's true PhD, Socrates Palmer.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Make me feel like a king. Girl, you're my loving girl. And you keep me feeling just enough. Just enough. Just enough. Too much.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Oh, you're too much. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
When I last saw Riddick Bowe, he had beaten some schmear in Oklahoma. I forget who the guy's name was, but the bottom line was Riddick Bowe was like 300 pounds. Told me to introduce him at 259, something like that. Man, I said to him, you got to be kidding me. I walked back across. It was a ring announcer, and I think I was doing the ring announcing and some regional TV. But the bottom line is Riddick Bowe has been pulled out of a fight with a, get this, an NBA player because he's not fit to box. Bottom line is, he's not fit to box. Have you seen Riddick Bowe lately? When they call him Big Daddy, he's like Big Granddaddy. Straight up, he deserves to be no. Let's be honest, Sock. He don't belong nowhere near a boxing ring. Maybe and since he doesn't talk all that well anymore, don't give him a microphone either.
The first time I met Riddick Bowe, I was somewhere in New York, and he had this fur coat on. He goes, they call me Big Daddy, but I'm smooth as a caddy, something like that. Big like a truck, smooth like a caddy. I was like, who the hell is? I know who you are, bro. I mean, thank God that, you know, that reason stepped in. I mean, Riddick Bowe should not be anywhere near a ring unless it's to sign autographs and take pictures with kids and talk to other fighters about, you know, this is what it looks like when you don't take your career serious.
Well, you know, Riddick Bowe. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but his guy, Rock Newman, his manager, Rock Newman, he had all kinds of plans for Riddick. He took Riddick over to meet the Pope. He was going to turn Riddick Bowe into the next Muhammad Ali. I'm telling you, he had all these things going on, but at the same time, Riddick was eating. And he had an eating issue. I told you when he announced on this show, he announced it right on this show. He goes, I'm going to tell you for the very first time. He goes, I've got I'm going to have a kitchen built in my bedroom. I said, what? So anyway, next time I had him on, I go, how's the kitchen in the bedroom going? He goes, yeah, I don't have to go downstairs to eat. I mean, that's how lazy he was that he wouldn't walk downstairs to eat. I mean, the guy had enough money to put an elevator in if he wanted to.
Riddick Bowe, and it's a shame because Riddick Bowe was an overnight superstar when he beat Evander Holyfield. He was, like you said, yes, he met the Pope. He was on all the talk shows. Back in the day when boxing was still front page news, you know, I remember it. He doing radio interviews. He was all over the place. And it's a shame when you say that a guy who became a world champ was still such a wasted talent. We never got the mega fight that we should have had with him and Lennox Lewis. But him and Evander Holyfield, I mean, those are just epic fights, you know, epic fights that took a lot out of both men. And, you know, Riddick Bowe, it's always what could have been, you know. Riddick Bowe should have been mentioned in the top 10 all time. That's how much talent he had. And, you know, we'll never know.
Well, he laid a whooping. He knocked out Michael Douglas in one round. Of course, got the unanimous nod over Holyfield. Who did I see him knock out that I was super impressed with? The guy from Puerto Rico. I can't think of his name right now. Oh, Rodolfo Marin. He knocked out Marin in, I think, the second round outdoor at the Mirage Hotel. Yeah, it was outdoor at the Mirage. Anyway, he broke this guy's jaw in four spots, okay, with a perfectly placed punch to the front of the jaw. You know what I mean? It wasn't like no hook. It was just that's how much power and pop he had in his punch. Riddick was 6'4", man. Riddick could sling. But then Riddick, of course, got into that eating. You know, he has an eating problem, and a lot of guys have eating disorders. I don't, thank goodness. I'm looking at his record here. He fought Tony Tubbs. He fought Tyrell Biggs. Of course, he beat Tyrell Biggs, stopped him in eighth round. Tyrell Biggs will be the first super heavyweight to ever win a gold medal in the Olympics. Of course, they introduced the super heavyweight class back in 1984, the year, of course, that Dan Duva signed the entire team. 1984, Dan Duva signs a team. Would Lou Duva be anything without his son? And I'm going to put it to you, I'll put a question to you. Lou Duva's in the Boxing Hall of Fame without a doubt. Good trainer, or a decent trainer, and a club fighter trainer before his Dan broke into the big leagues. But he had a 6-10 record as a pro, so he wasn't that good of a fighter. And then he turned his likes to the promoting and pushing club fighters. And then he got in with the heavyweight fighters. Of course, I'm talking about heavyweights, meaning stars, in 1984 when his son signed the Olympic team. If Dan Duva didn't come around, would Lou Duva be anything in history?
Well, wasn't he Rocky Marciano's buddy? That's how, you know, or they were from the same camp or something to that extent.
He never tried to sell that one on this show.
No, okay. No. Lou was a great character, you know, from the 80s. You know, he was a guy that you associated. He's one of the faces of boxing. And like you said, he was a journeyman fighter himself. Had a tremendous stable, but you know, the smartest people that I know never are the smartest people in the room. You know, you always want to have the right people, the right staff around you. In this case, he's so fortunate that it was his son. So, you know, I don't want to kind of crap on Lou's career.
No. But
his son was the backbone.
Well, here's what's up. Dan Duva comes up with pay-per-view in 1981. Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hearns are going to hook it up in September of 19. It was like 40 years ago this month. Anyway, they were going to hook it up for the welterweight championship. And he says, you know what? I'm going to put this on limited pay-per-view. I'll still have the closed circuit sites at different gyms and theaters and stadiums and things like that. But in certain parts of the country, I'm going to go with home pay-per-view for, like, I think it was $20 or something like that. Anyway, we watched it here in the city. It was the first pay-per-view ever. I think that Dan Duva changed the entire landscape of boxing, because boxing promoters like Bob Arum and Don King said he would kill the game. The game was over. The game would never survive this. And that's how Bob Arum and Don King made most of their money, was on pay-per-view. Anyway, Dan Duva comes up with pay-per-view. He signs the 84 team, and then he brings in Georgie Benton, former welterweight contender. I think was one of the best trainers of all time. Dan Duva was brilliant.
Hey, like I said, a smart man, you know, builds a great team. You know, and everyone knows their role. Lou was the face of the promotion, and Dan was the kind of like the Wizard of Oz behind the scenes.
Good point. All right, let's talk about today. Of course, in a couple of hours here, Oleg Usyk undefeated, like 18 and zip, 25 and zip if you count the World Boxing Series fights. I don't know why they don't count them, but anyway, 25 and zip at 220 pounds, taking on Anthony Joshua, of course, the 24-1, I believe, 16-17 KOs, the former 2012 Olympic gold medalist, got a whole lot of title belts. He's favored 3-1. Oleg Usyk, what does Oleg bring to the dance besides being a sharpshooter?
I think he brings a winning record and a winning attitude. Someone like you mentioned about Andre Ward. When's the last time Alexander Usyk's lost? You know, so he's got that natural confidence already in him. What I think that's going to help, and a lot of people kind of maybe going by, oh, how he looked as a heavyweight. Remember how good Evander Holyfield looked before he fought Mike Tyson? That's the reason he got Mike Tyson, because he looked that ordinary when he fought Bobby Chez. So you can't go by that. You know, Alexander Usyk now has been a heavyweight for over a year, so I believe his body's kind of all right. It's used to carrying around the extra weight. Alexander Usyk is a sharp, sharp puncher. And I think his best chance is to make it a brawl, to have Anthony Joshua get into exchanges. And the guy with the faster hands always gets there first. And as we know, AJ is prone to being dropped, you know, and he has been stopped before. So I think Alexander Usyk is more than a live underdog. And he's going to be the best pure fighter that Anthony Joshua's been in there with,
okay,
you know, without a doubt. Right. However, Anthony Joshua is a huge man, and it's the heavyweight division, and it doesn't take much to, to put someone out.
How come before I let you go, how come we revere Evander Holyfield the way we do, and he was a steroid cheat without a doubt? I mean, we even have a picture of the guy that delivered steroids to his house, the FedEx guy, taking a picture with Evander. Of course, the steroids were addressed to E. Fields.
You know what? You're absolutely right. There's no. Why is it? Because Evander's a nice guy for the most part. You know, he's. It's the media has always been subjective in every single sport. You know, and should Evander Holyfield probably be treated the same way Barry Bonds is treated? Yes. You know, but it's boxing, and
Barry. Listen, I covered Barry Bonds when he was at Sarah. He's a
jerk.
No. He's an ASSHOLE.
Well, then again, because Barry Bonds is a kid that grew up of privilege. You know, Barry Bonds didn't grow up in the projects. You know, Barry Bonds grew up, you know, with the silver spoon in his mouth, and aside from that, being talented, everyone kissing his butt. Of course, you're going to be a jerk growing up.
Julio Cesar Chavez, like his father, got tough and got street by fighting and living out of a railroad car in Tijuana. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. lives in a mansion.
There you go. That's it. Right. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Have a wonderful week, sir. Say hello to the family. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother. All the best.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, live and exclusively on Ring Talk, live worldwide, and WBC TV. More after the break.